But sometime soon, so that I could start, you know, again, start planning lessons going forward, and like I said, just getting to know the topics and the books that y'all are interested in and would like to study. So today we're going to continue on looking at different tools and resources to help us with Bible study. Last time we talked about reading different historians from the day, some ancient historians from like Roman history, Tacitus. There's a lot of different writings that we could look at, and they have a lot of them are free online, so you can just kind of look up like Roman historians in the first century. You'll find like some of their works on there. We talked about word studies, word study books, and resources. We looked up the Blue Letter Bible we used last time, and I worked a little bit more on it this week to kind of get a better idea of how they've updated it. So we can do like a special kind of one-off class on kind of how to use that tool and resource. We talked about commentaries. Again, the Truth for Today and the Gospel Advocate are like the two go-tos for members of the Church of Christ. There's all kinds of different people who've written commentaries on the Bible. And again, we just have to be careful and realize that these were written by men, so they're not inspired by God, but we also need to make sure that, you know, we might have a background or understanding of some of their doctrinal biases, because, you know, there are some commentaries that, you know, they might be right on some things, but they might be completely false on others. And so commentaries, they can provide us some good background knowledge and information as well whenever we're studying a book, so that it can be helpful. But again, we have to use them. Be careful and cautious whenever we do so. Finally, Abby mentioned last time the use of an atlas, trying to sort of get a better picture and idea, especially like in Acts or the Gospels, where Jesus, where Paul are going on their missionary journeys, and it kind of helps us to see that, get a visual of that on a map. Of course, we've got maps in the backs of our Bible that usually kind of can help us chart that, but having a Bible atlas, you know, it can, maybe there's just a little bit more detail about the place in them. So that's also a good resource or tool to use. What are some other tools and resources you might be able to think of? What is this? A concordance. Okay. What is a concordance?
I thought it was like a commentary, but I'm not.
If you want to say, I mean, it's a commentary in a sense of, basically, it's also kind of a, it's also another sort of word study book. Basically, if you want to look up a certain word, it'll tell you all the different places where that word is found in the Bible. So a commentary, I say a commentary in a sense, because the Bible basically is its own best commentary, especially if you can find the cross references or, you know, use that to kind of go either back to the Old Testament or maybe to find some New Testament passages. So what is just give me a word in the Bible that any word.
Mediator.
So mediator, you come to your concordance. You've also, there's also like a small concordance in the back of our Bible again. But obviously like Strong's concordance, which is what this is, and Young's concordance is also, they again, I mean, you see how big this is. And literally, as we look at Mediator has only got about 7 verses. Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. Hebrews 8, 6. Hebrews 9, 15. Hebrews 12, 24. Somebody turn to Galatians 3, 19 to 20.
I got in middle school, I got in 8th grade, I was first place in dictionary skills. So
oh, yeah?
I'm pretty good at flipping through.
Okay. Somebody else do 1 Timothy.
I'm like 100% serious, though. Like, I don't think I'm that broke. So that's one of your strengths, is dictionary
it
flipping.
Is. Boom. Okay. Yeah, right there.
Hebrews 8:6.
I'm going to pray efficiency.
Hebrews 9:15, and then somebody else, Hebrews
12:24. I feel like you're
going
to have to assign these to us.
Okay. All right, so y'all, which one did y'all turn to?
The first time.
First Timothy, okay, y'all stay there.
Okay, I'm already Galatians.
Okay, I'll go to Hebrews.
Well, there's five people and five verses. So delegating is not Hayden's thing.
Okay, so Hebrews 8:6.
No, I'm already at Galatians.
Okay, you take Galatians. Y'all have First Timothy. Hebrews.
I got 9:15.
9:15, you take 8:6.
Yeah.
And then Abby, you do Hebrews 12:24.
She
I don't know him. All right, so what do we learn about mediator? Heather, if you would read Galatians 3:19-20.
That's
true. What? Okay, fine.
Trent, will you read Galatians 3:19-20 for me?
What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions against transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one.
Okay. What's the next verse say?
Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law.
Okay, so what do we find out about mediatorship from Galatians 3:19-20? Trent, since that's your verse.
Oh my gosh, that's the most the weirdest verse. I thought, like,
you have to read the whole chapter before.
Yeah, I haven't exegeted it yet, so.
That's all right. You know, we're kind of just branching out. This is kind of new territory. So, who's got First Timothy 2:5? Heather, why don't you read that for us? So we're trying to, again, the concordance is what, whenever I talked about having, getting all the pertinent verses together, a concordance is a good place to come to. So if we're trying to do like a lesson on the Holy Spirit and we want to look up all the different Holy Spirit verses, we can come here and find, okay, what are all the different passages that mention the Holy Spirit or something of that nature? And so again, we're kind of taking all these verses, we're trying to sort of get this whole picture piece together about, well, in this case, the mediator. So what does 1 Timothy 2:5 say?
For there is one God and one mediator, also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
One God, one mediator.
I was expecting a verse like that.
Man, yeah, me too. Yeah, that is Jesus. All right, so Jesus is a mediator between God and man. Hebrews 8:6.
Oh, that's me. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises.
All right, mediator. Of a better covenant. Nine fifteen.
And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance.
Alright, so, and then 12:24.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of you.
Can you repeat that again? I'm sorry, I was thinking about where we were going to go next.
You just wasn't paying attention.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to think,
I was trying to think ahead.
And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to his sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel.
All right. So again, we have another reference to Jesus being mediator of a new covenant. So, but again, so, okay, so we need, we sort of have this picture and role of Jesus being this mediator. But what is a mediator? Someone who goes between. Yeah, I think it was kind of mentioned 1 Timothy 2:5, a go-between between man and God.
Kind of speaks on behalf.
Speaks on behalf
of the other party.
Yeah. Somebody go to Webster's Dictionary and look up mediator. Trish, you got one?
Oh,
yeah. What does it say?
See how quick that was?
So important to another important tool to Bible study. Again, if we're dealing with a word like mediator, or especially when we talked about in Bill's Wednesday night class a few weeks ago, propitiation, some of these words that are very picturesque and sort of that we don't use in like modern day vocabulary, sometimes having a good literal English dictionary can be helpful to understanding, okay, Jesus' role as mediator. We sort of have this picture between God and man, but what is a mediator?
One that interposes between parties at variance for the purpose of reconciling. By way of imminence, Christ is a mediator, the divine intercessor through whom sinners may be reconciled to offended God.
Boom, okay. So we can see that a mediator is one who reconciles. Jesus being our mediator, reconciling us to God. What about, will you look up propitiation as well? Like I said, so having a good dictionary is also important, because again, if we come across some of these words, looking them up can help us, you know, get a better understanding of, again, of what the word means, what is happening. Jesus being our mediator, but what does propitiation mean?
The act of appeasing wrath and reconciliating the favor of an offended person, the act of making propitious. In theology, the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and render him propitious to sin.
Yeah, so you sort of get the picture of Jesus being the go-between of God and man, but also as propitiation, he takes the wrath of God in his death on the cross so that we can be made right, so that we can escape the wrath of God and the judgment. So again, having a concordance shows us all the different verses that contain a particular word. If we're wanting to do like a word study or a topic, we can come to a concordance like this. Again, there are some at the back of our Bible, but obviously like this Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, it's literally got like every single passage, where as the concordance in the back of our Bible might have like one or two passages, or just a small handful. So this can be helpful, and then also having a good English dictionary to sort of understand some of these big words can help us to understand the concept of Christ being our sacrifice, our propitiation, our mediator between God and man. Thoughts? Questions?
Would just be having a like, proper Bible be a good tool? Like reading from one of the, like, you know, some people are like, well, you need to read like ESV or whatever.
Yeah, based on different translation.
Yeah, there's no point in me reading like the... I can't think of any, just random.
Random. Yeah, I think... So this has always been kind of... this has always been kind of an interesting topic. You know, which Bible should I read? Which Bible should I use? And really, the different translations are written at different levels. And so some of them might be a little bit more difficult to understand.
Whereas there are some that are like the NIV, I think, is like on a seventh grade level. NIV, the Message, do what? There are some translations that are written on different sort of reading levels to try and make it easier to understand. But having a good Bible, New King James, King James, New American Standard, ESV, they are within the realm of what's called more literal translation. So they might be a little bit harder reading-wise. I mean, it's whenever I say harder, I mean, they're going to have some more of these bigger words like propitiation in them. So again, having a good dictionary is helpful and useful there to look up some of those big words. But it is going to be more closely tied to what the original Greek says. So they're a more literal translation. But then once you get closer towards the NIV, NIV, Message, New Living Translation, they start to kind of take a little bit more freedom in the sense of they want you to try. They might take it's going to be a little less literal from the Greek. So they might try and make sort of a modern day, they want to make it more readable, essentially. So it might not be as blocky or as the New American Standard might be written. This is a whole, study in and of itself about the different translations and what their methods and tools are. But as far as, if you want to use an NIV just as kind of like a Bible reading, I'd be okay with that. However, we also have to keep in mind as well that different translators have different, they also have their own doctrinal biases. So that's why it can be helpful to study the original language a little bit on our own just to kind of get a better idea. Because other times, there are some things that have been translated. I can't think of examples off the top of my head right now. There are some things that have been translated, and it reads a certain way in that translation that might be debatable.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there's also like the easy to read version.
Yep.
And like I've heard people read from it before, and it's a little more confusing to me because I feel like it changes the meaning of the verse completely.
Yeah.
Because you kind of
instead of translation.
Yeah. So it's like almost a completely different Bible than what the actual translation is. So.
Right.
I feel like you want to be a little careful with the, easier to read versions, because they might, almost completely change the language.
Yeah.
You gotta look at the year, though, because, the 88 NIV, or right around there, it's pretty sound. But the 2020 NASB, even NASB is now going astray, so, you have to look at the year as well and kind of know history behind the years, because people change. So.
Do
I think mine's going to be.
Yeah. Hey, that's okay.
I got it in 2000.
Used to not be that. They made it that when it became more modern. But, one of the professors at Bear Valley, if someone's a brand new Christian, they'll give them an old, copy of NIVs, because it's easy for them to understand, and for the most part, it's very close.
I had a Bible. There's a. It was. It's kind of funny. I went to a. Is Jake leaving? I think you just. There's a. My mom got me a 2000s. NIV. I used that for ever. I've got all sorts of old highlights and stuff in it. And I remember I started telling it Keller. Keller's big on ESV. And so I was kind of am I using the wrong Bible? I didn't know. But as far as, you have to be careful. The year, the translation, you have to be careful with all those things. If you're kind of using it as a, casual reading Bible, I think one of the important things is trying to understand it. But as far as if you're wanting to do an in-depth study like we're talking about, you would probably want to look at a New King James or a New American. I would honestly,
I wouldn't even really recommend the King James just because it's such, it's, I mean, it's old language. That's
I
very...
I
feel like Shakespeare.
Every time, like, my dad wants to get up there to read, like, scripture, he wants to read, like, a whole chapter of the King James. I'm like, yeah. Dad, you cannot. You don't know what's going on. Next time,
You know, but that's the thing, too. It's like, there are different... like, the King James has... like its strengths and its weaknesses. Like I remember whenever we were studying this at Brown Trail, part of the reason the way that they made the King James the way it was so that whenever they read it out loud, it would be kind of like, it sort of appeals to the ear more. But again, like you get into the weeds of that now and you're going to have like a dictionary for every like fourth or third word. So I thought that's kind of like the, that's kind of like an old standard. And I know some people who really push for that as, like, the Bible to have.
You know, 175, that Victory Baptist, right? Like, you know where that is? Mm-hmm. They only use the King James.
Yeah.
And, like, they just like, oh, yeah, you miss so much with the translation. You know, like, it's just, I'm trying to read something from the 1200s, you know?
Yeah.
Where are you from that?
I have friends that go there.
See where you've been visiting. talking about going to a new church. Yeah, really.
When you want to get next time, we know where to check.
Yeah.
So having a good Bible, again, something that's going to be a little closer to what the original translation says. Again, New King James, New American Standard, the 95 edition is the one I have. There are certain... we can do this. Would be another good study. Like again, if you kind of take some of these verses and put them side by side of one another, you see like how different each one reads, and how like Abby and Heather were saying how much sort of over time, like the way that they translate certain passages. You know, again, some of their doctrinal theological ideas that sort of brought with them to the text.
Six.
And so, that would be an interesting study at a time, sometime to kind of sit certain verses, put them next to one another. So again, having more of a literal translation would be good, especially in an in-depth study like what we're talking about.
I feel like you could also get like a study Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's written from a human perspective, so I mean, you have to be careful with that. Like with this one, they talk a lot about... heavens and earth, and like little, I don't know what they're called. Just like
the
articles. Yeah, they just have like little things at the top, and it's like in heavens and earth, and they're like, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But it, like at the beginning of each book, it'll give you like a background on like what is going on in the book.
Yeah.
So some of that's helpful too.
A study Bible is basically a Bible alongside of a commentary. You'll have usually the text will be you probably, if you have a study Bible, you know, you'll have like biblical text up here, and then like the bottom half will be like commentary on the verses that are on that page. So study Bibles are also good. The Apologetics Press Study Bible, they have they have actually like whole articles on a few different pages. So they'll kind of, again, Apologetics Press, they're more sort of apologetic in their approach. They have more articles on like creation, on sin, on, you know.
It's a lot of scientific stuff.
It's a lot of sciencey stuff, yeah. But I mean, they've also got stuff on the miracles and the gospels, so it's really a really good, helpful tool. But again, like Abby said, even you know, again, it's like a commentary; it's written by men, so there's times when they might be wrong on something. But having a good study Bible, that would be good as well. I know. I think one time I asked a question in class, and somebody the answer that they gave came from the commentary section because they had a study Bible. It's helpful. Alright, we'll be dismissed. Like I said, give me those
3 minutes over.
Long-winded preacher man. yeah, I know.
Second battle, ring just